That was a very long one for little people to sit in today, wasn't it? So, Minister Yitzhak's now going to come and give us his drush on that. He's got some fun things in there, I think, young ones, in his 60 seconds of the Torah in 60 seconds. And I'm going to ask too, before he comes, that when we do the remembrance service, if everyone can come down this left-hand side, facing left, because of all the cabling that's on the floor. Thank you.
Is that on? Yep. Oh, okay. Put it in this pocket away from that microphone. Good. Okay. Let's pray. Abba, we pray for your hand upon the drush today, Father God. We ask that your word and only your word go forth, Father God, and nobody else's. Do you hide anything that's not of you, Father God? That you would speak to our hearts and speak to your hearts your truth and only your truth, Father God. Lord, you might set us free by dispelling any lies, any falsehoods, or any Father God, compromises we've made in our lives and our thinking, Father God. Help us to be accurate, true, and Lord, have a hunger and thirst after the truth and the purity of your Torah, your instruction. Bless your name, Father. Help us to live and walk and breathe your word. Amen. Amen. All right, this parasha. He's made up of 6,149 Hebrew letters, 1,655 Hebrew words, 106 verses, and can occupy 207 lines in the Torah scroll. There you go. We'll move quickly because it is hot, and the kids are, you know, doing very well. They're amazing at the moment, sitting so patiently. Would you like to play the video, guys, so the kids can have something to watch, a little bit of entertainment?
Shalom and welcome to Parsha in 60 Seconds. Today's portion is from Exodus 10:1 through 13:16. It is called Bo, which means go or come. 7 out of 10 plagues have been performed, and Pharaoh keeps changing his mind about letting the Israelites go. God used the east wind and brought an onslaught of locusts on the land. Pharaoh begged for forgiveness. God used a west wind to lift the locusts into the Sea of Reeds. God hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let the Israelites go. Then God brought darkness upon the land, but the Israelites enjoyed light. Pharaoh tried to negotiate terms in which the Israelites left their flocks behind. Moses rejected the terms. Pharaoh reacted in anger, yelling, "The moment you look upon my face, you shall die." Moses warned Pharaoh that God would kill every firstborn in Egypt. God instructed the Israelites to take the blood of the sacrificial lamb and mark the frames of their doorposts, so that when the angel of death came, he would pass over, and the house would be saved. That night, God struck down all the firstborn in Egypt. Pharaoh woke up that night to a loud cry, and he let the Israelites go. God instructed Moses to tell the Israelites to consecrate to God every firstborn man and beast, and Moses did so. And that is Bo in 60 seconds.
All right. Very briefly. The firstborn is very prominent in this week's parasha. It's actually prominent throughout scripture. In every home with children, there is a firstborn. Firstborns grow up with a special destiny. Firstborns are thrust into the role of trailblazers. They are natural leaders. They represent the future hope of the family, its name, and they're regarded as the first heirs to the family. As a matter of fact, CEOs and leaders of companies, it is 30% more likely for them to be a firstborn. Do you know what statistics are? If you're firstborn, you are more likely to be a leader or a CEO of a company. There you go. According to scripture, do you want to put the first one up? Devar 21:17. No, he must acknowledge the firstborn is the son of the unloved wife by giving him a double portion of everything he owns, for he is the first fruits of his manhood, and the right of the firstborn is his. By scripture, the firstborn has a double portion of inheritance, so we as Torah observant must ensure that our firstborn children get a double portion of the inheritance. Firstborn son, that's right. Yes? That's right. We'll get to that in a minute, but yep. Okay. The scriptures do not stop addressing the subject of firstborns, and it's a very important teaching tool Yah wants us to understand. There's some very, very interesting ways Yah puts it. as we're about to discover, there's a deep teaching involved, a hidden treasure in this. If we consider the story of Abraham and his descendants, Abraham received a covenant from Yah, became the father of many, and established a special heritage and a blessing for the people of Yah. Abraham's firstborn, Ishmael, did not receive the firstborn blessing. Instead, Yitzhak, the son born through Sarah, received the blessing. Yitzhak's firstborn, Esav, did not receive the blessing. Instead, Yaakov received the blessing. Yaakov's firstborn, Reuben, did not receive the firstborn blessing. Yosef received the blessing. Yosef's firstborn son, Manasseh, did not receive the preeminence of his title firstborn, but Ephraim became the leader tribe. Ephraim received the blessing. And still further, when the tribes were numbered, Yah declared that Levites would be his firstborn separated from Israel. So why is this? Why is his firstborn not being given through the birthright of physical descendant? Okay? Paul, or Shaul, addresses this situation in the book of Romans. He was addressing the hidden wisdom of the firstborn. Blessing. Here we go. Do you want to put that one up? 9:6. Next one. Next one, guys. Yep. Oh, yeah. Okay. Next one. Yeah, forward, other way. How do you do that? I can only go forwards. I haven't figured out how to go backwards. All right. Okay, but the present condition of Israel does not mean that the word of God has failed, for not everybody from Israel is truly part of Israel. Indeed, not all the descendants are the seed of Abraham. Rather, what is to be called your seed will be in Yitzhak. In other words, it is not the physical children who are the children of Yah, but the children of the promise referred to who are considered seed. Isn't it interesting? So why was Yitzhak chosen over Ishmael? Yeah, because Ishmael would choose a life of sin and Yitzhak would not. He would choose Yah. Why was Yaakov chosen over Esav? Same. Why was Yosef chosen over Reuben? Same. Why was Levi chosen over the firstborn of all Israel? Same. The blessing of the firstborn is not simply about being firstborn physically. It's about Yah's promises, prophecies, choices, adoption, and those who draw near to him. But wait a minute. Yah has to follow the rules too. What gives Yah the right to substitute another person in his family before a natural physical firstborn? How can he arbitrarily put one before the other? Paul addresses this as well in Romans 9:13. Yeah. Yaakov I loved and Esau I hated. So we say it is unjust for Yah to do this? Heaven forbid. For Moshe, he says, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy and have pity on whom I will have pity. Thus, it doesn't depend on human desires or efforts, but on Yah who has mercy. For the Tanakh says to Pharaoh, this is the very reason I raised you up, so that in connection with you I might demonstrate my power, so that my name might be known throughout the world. Okay? For inheritance that comes through the legal part of the Torah in Galatians 3:18, it no longer comes from promise, but Yah gave to Abraham through a promise. Okay. Yah has foreknowledge of who will ultimately reject him, of who will ultimately walk away from him and who will stay with him. Okay, Yah gives us ultimate free will. We've got this whole argument of free will and predestination here if you want to go into it, but I don't want to do that. Yah ultimately knows what people are going to make the decision, so he will give mercy to people he chooses to give mercy to. Now, he is of good character, and anyone who cries out to him, he will respond to. We know that because Yeshua answered the woman, the Canaanite woman, who cried out to him for healing of a child. And he answered her and he said, why should I throw food from the children's table and give it to the dogs? He doesn't lie, he was being accurate. She really didn't want anything to do with him. All she wanted from him was what he knew he could do. And he gave it to her because she cried out in faith to him and he responded to her because of his good character, not because of hers. Because he loves little children. Because he desires to do good for people. It's not that she deserved it, it's because he wanted to. And she made a door open for him to do that. Yeah? Amen. Okay. On the other hand, Ezekiel. Next one. On the other hand, when a righteous person turns away from his righteousness and commits wickedness by acting in accordance with all of the disgusting practices that a wicked person does, will he live? None of the righteous deeds he has done will be remembered. For the trespass and sin he has committed, he will die. And when a wicked person turns away from his wickedness he has committed and does what is lawful and right, he will save his life. Next, you human beings, say to your people, the righteousness of the righteous person does not save him. Once he starts committing crimes, and likewise the wickedness of a wicked person will not cause him to fall, once he has turned from his wickedness. No, the righteous person cannot live by virtue of his former righteousness once he starts sinning. Likewise, if after I tell a wicked person you must die, he turns from his sin and does what's lawful and right, and then the wicked person turns from his wickedness and does what's lawful and right, he will live because of it. Okay. The firstborn are not just physical descendants, they follow a pattern. They receive the blessing of the firstborn through their obedience. Okay? Their children are promised, they're prophesied. They are chosen and adopted. Yah made a promise to Abraham in Genesis Bereshit 26 verse 4. I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in heaven. I will give their lands to their descendants, and by your descendants all the nations of the earth will bless themselves. All this because Abraham heeded what I said and did what I told him to. He followed my mitzvot, my regulations, and my teachings. Okay? Obedience is what puts you in the blessing of the firstborn. Let's look at the children of Israel who are being oppressed by Pharaoh and the Egyptians. Yah's pattern, he uses a situation in wherever we are to use for his glory. What kind of good situation, what kind of earth-shattering situation can Yah bring when you're a slave in Egypt and your life is worthless? I mean, think about it. Our situations here now in Australia is much better than their situation then. Yet Yah was able to take that nation and those people and shake the earth. How much more can he take you in your situation now and do more? Yes? Yeah. If you feel you don't have faith in Yah to do something with you now, think of what it was like for them then. They didn't even have the right to stay in bed for the day. They didn't have the right to call in work sick. They're slaves. They have to do what they're told all the time. They had absolutely no freedom. Yah can glorify his name in whatever circumstance and whatever situation you find yourself in. Whether you're poor, whether you're rich, whether you are a slave or whether you're free, he can take you, mold you, and use you. Yes? He's so good at demonstrating everything to extremes. Yah made a promise to bring Abraham's descendant back from Egypt, the land promised to Abraham. But Egypt had Israel as slaves. And this is a war between two kingdoms going on. Yes? We have Yah's firstborn, whom he calls his firstborn. Is Exodus chapter 4, verse 22. Would you like to put that up? Then you are to tell Pharaoh, Jehovah says, Israel is my firstborn son. I have told you to let my son go in order to worship me, but you refuse to let him go. Well then, I will kill your firstborn son. Now why? Think about it. Why? Because we're not just talking about Egypt. We're talking about the principalities and powers, and we're talking about the whole spiritual realm that's holding Israel in bondage. Why do they want to hold Israel in bondage? Why do they want to force them down? Why do they want to keep them under control? Because what? That's right, because they don't want Yah's kingdom established on earth. Because what's the role of the firstborn? The role of the firstborn is to carry out their father's work, to bring about the inheritance of their father, to to do the work of dad, to establish his kingdom here on earth. Yes? So Israel is his firstborn, and Egypt was usurping that position and holding them down and forcing them to be their slaves. Yes? It happens now. How many times do you go to work and you're forced to submit to somebody else's stupid ideology? Yeah? I had someone come I had a lady come up to me and say to me at work, she said to me, you know, anybody who thinks they know the truth is psychotic. She's a psychologist, by the way. And I said to her, 3.6 million people saw God say the Ten Commandments out loud. They saw it and they heard him. And then she said it to me again. And I said that to her again. And she said it to me again. And I said that back to her again. And I said, that is the core of what we believe as Jews. We are his people. We are people of the book. The entire nation saw and heard. At a point in history, 3.6 million people saw him and heard him speak his word. Are they all psychotic? No. Do we have to lie to fit within your ideology? Huh? Does that tell you something about our ideology? It's rhetorical nonsense. There's no such thing as truth. Yeah, so what you just said is what? A lie. Look, if somebody ever says that to you, there's no such thing as truth, you say, is that true? It's nonsense. Not anybody saying that, she's saying, Yeshua is a lie, Yeshua is psychotic, Yah is psychotic, Moses is psychotic, and nobody can know right from wrong at all. Because if there is no truth, there is no right from wrong, is there? Yeah, this is nonsense. They're the ones that are psychotic, they're throwing away right from wrong. Psychotic people don't know the difference anymore. You know, this is called self-exonerating projection. You ever heard of that? Yes, when you are doing something wrong yourself and then you blame other people for the thing you're doing wrong. You see, no, let me put that on other people. Run into it all the time. All the time. Yah wants Israel to establish his kingdom on earth, to establish his presence on earth, and to maintain his word on earth. Pharaoh is trying to block that because Pharaoh wants to establish his own kingdom on earth. He wants to establish through his firstborn his continuation of his kingdom and his domination through the lies he tells. You know why people lie? Because they want to control other people. Pharaoh's entire kingdom, their entire theology was based on keeping him in power. Yes, because they considered Pharaoh a god. So every lie they told and the priesthood tell is about maintaining that power structure. And along comes Moses, who shows up from the all-eternal one, who is the true and living God, and says, excuse me, I'd like you to let my firstborn go to come and worship me. He can't handle that because it completely destroys his entire lying narrative. He gets wiped if he agrees to it, if he submits to it. So Yah chose him to expose the absolute nonsense, I like that word, nonsensical stupidity, of man's wisdom. Here's an interesting thought. Passover, the night that Yah passed over the houses, Yah caused Israel to place blood on the doorposts, on the lintel and on the doorposts. Could you go to the next verse, please? John 5:24. Yes, indeed. Whoever sees what I'm saying, trusts in the one who sent me is eternal life. This will not come up for judgment. He has already crossed from death into life. What letter is spelt out in Hebrew on the doorpost? Sorry? Up, across and down? Hey. Hey. Het. Het. Life. He protects the life within. The first one belongs to Yah because of his salvation. In the story of Passover, we see that Yah has saved the firstborn. Okay? He sanctified them because that was the moment he was passing judgment on all the firstborn. Okay? All the firstborn, men and beasts, were all going to die. The only way out of that was the blood on the doorpost that says life is in this house and you're not allowed to touch it. Yes? Okay? So he saved the firstborn by the blood of the Lamb. Okay? So the firstborn is his. from then on, all the firstborn is his. All the firstborn of Israel are his from then on, because he saved them. You know what? If you save someone from destruction, from judgment, their lives belong. Who do their lives belong to? The Saviour. Because if it wasn't for the Saviour, they wouldn't exist anymore. Yeah? Moshe said, where is it? Exodus 13:3. Moshe said to the people, remember this day. This is the day we left Egypt out of the abode of slavery, because Jehovah, by his strength of his hand, has brought you up out of this place. Out of this place. Do not eat chametz. Everything, next one, sorry, Exodus 34:19. Everything that is first from the womb is mine. All of your livestock you are to set aside for me, males, the firstborn of the cattle and the flocks. The firstborn of the donkey must be redeemed with a lamb. If you don't redeem it, break its neck. All of the firstborn of your sons you are to redeem. No one is to appear before me empty-handed. Okay. So what's the price of the redemption of the firstborn? There has to be a substitution. The answer to this comes from when Yah numbered all of the firstborn in Israel, and he numbered the Levites. Initially, he substituted the Levites for the firstborn, and for a value. And Numbers 3:12, it says, I have taken the Levim from amongst the people of Israel in lieu of every firstborn male, first from the womb amongst the people of Israel. The Levim are to be mine, and all the firstborn males belong to me. Because on the day I killed the firstborn males in the land of Egypt, I separated from myself the firstborn males in Israel, both human and animal, they are mine, says Jehovah. Since there were 273 more firstborn males from Israel, the male Levim, in order to redeem them, the amount of money he took from the firstborn of the people of Israel was 1,365 shekels, using the sanctuary shekel. It's simple to do the math. 1,365 divided by 237 equals 5. So each person had to pay 5 shekels, okay, for the redemption of the firstborn. The ransom of the firstborn was 5 shekels, referred to as coins of redemption. It's the price of redemption of the firstborn. So where did Yah get this price from? Anyone know? Anyone have a guess? Yep. No? Yeah? What does it say? I'll tell you where it comes from. It comes from Bereshit 37:28. Okay? And men, the Midianite traders, passed by, and they drew up and took Joseph out of the pit, and they sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph into Egypt. Now, most Bibles translate that as 20 silver shekels. However, that doesn't make sense. However, it doesn't say that in Hebrew. It says silver pieces of silver. That is 20 silver gerahs. Now, for a table of value, one talent is 60 men. Manet, 3,000 or 3,000 shekels. One manet is 50 shekels, or 100 becha, or 1,000 gerahs, which is, so one shekel is 20 gerahs, sorry, if you do the math, all right? Okay, so Israel contended the price was paid for Joseph was 5 shekels. Okay, so the price paid for Israel's firstborn was 5 shekels. So Yah continued to use that. What price was paid for Yeshua? 30. Yeah. So he was firstborn, wasn't he? It says in Scripture he was firstborn. Anyone unfamiliar with that? So who was he firstborn of? Yah? Firstborn of Yah? Firstborn of all living, all creation. Yeah. So when were human beings created? When was creation finalized? Sorry? What day? Six. And 6 times 5 shekels is? Oh, isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? 30 shekels is the firstborn price for all of creation. Isn't that interesting? Cool. Oh, Heslin and Beckman extending up, sorry. Romans 8:29. Because those who he knew in advance, he determined in advance would be conformed to the pattern of his son, that he might be firstborn amongst many brothers. Also, he is the head of the body in the Messianic community. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that he might also hold the first place in everything. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Yeah. Firstborn adoption. Then he added a blessing to them, saying, Israel will speak to you in their own blessing, saying, may God make you like Ephraim and Manasseh. And thus he put Ephraim ahead of Manasseh. So this is a blessing that Israel says, people of Israel say all the time. So what are they saying? Why are they making Yah making them like Ephraim and Manasseh? Sons of Joseph. Why? Because they were grandsons of Joseph and they were adopted to the position of being what?
Firstborn.
Yes. So he chose to make them firstborn. Sons of the promise. Yeah? So they have preeminence over their now brothers who were natural born, yes? Because he adopted them and made them firstborn, yes? So when all Israel says, may Yah bless you like Ephraim and Manasseh, he's asking that you would step into that role as firstborn, that you would choose him. You would choose to live in his promises, choose to walk in his promises, choose to be obedient to him, and he will adopt you as his firstborn over and above the others. That's moving from being a wedding guest into the wedding chamber, yes? From being one of the family to being preeminent among the family, yes? Does that make sense to everyone? Sons are adopted into the family and have a double portion ahead of the natural born sons. Yes. We're reminded that Yah's adoption and election is greater than any natural title. Okay? Romans 8:15 says, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to bring you back again into fear. Out of the contrary, you received a spirit who makes a son and by whose power we cry out, Abba, dear Father. So I just want to cap off a few things about firstborn. One, the firstborn covered by the blood of the Lamb. We saw that in Passover. Firstborn have passed from death into life. We saw that because Passover lamb's blood spells chet. The firstborn are redeemed. We saw that. Firstborn belong to Yehovah and they owe their lives to Yehovah. The firstborn are the first fruits of the kingdom, the best part. The firstborn are the chosen people and they are adopted by Yah. The firstborn are those who choose to draw near to Yah. Okay? Hebrews 11:28. By trusting, he obeyed the requirements for Pesach, including the smearing of blood, so the destroyer of the firstborn could not touch the firstborn of Israel. Hebrews 12:23. The community of the firstborn, whose names have been recorded in heaven, to a judge who is God of everyone, to spirits of righteous people who have been brought to the goal. As a believer in Yeshua HaMashiach, I do not assert my position as a descendant of Israel, but I assert Yah's choice for me as an adoption into his family. Yeshua speaking to a Jew who was highly educated and practitioner in Torah, said, yes indeed, Yeshua said to Nicodemus, yes indeed I tell you, unless you are a person born again from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Yes? Jew to Jew, not Jew to Gentile, Jew to Jew, okay? Unless we are people who have received mercy from Yah, unless we are people who choose his promises, choosing that causes us to enter into being his firstborn, amen, and into the blessings thereof, no matter what tribe we're descended from, because that's part of the blessing, it's his intention for us to be his firstborn, to be drawn close to him, to be the people who carry out his work, his kingdom, and his purposes in the world, to bring about his inheritance and his kingdom. Amen. Does anyone have any questions? No? We'll move on to the Yeshua Remembrance Service. Yeah.
Can I have the mic, guys, please?
Mm-hmm.
Another one. Oh, thanks. There was in Sean's first scripture, he mentioned Yaakov I loved, but Esav I hated. Hated is an English word. It just means he loved less. Yah doesn't hate Esav. The same with Rachel and Leah. Okay, Leah was loved less than Rachel. They're not hated. And I felt that I had to get that across.
That's fine. Okay.
I mean, it's written in the word, but that's the English interpretation. When you read it in Hebrew, it's loved less.
Just a medical term for those who are not aware. When the centurion wanted to make sure that Yeshua was dead, instead of breaking his leg, he threw a spear on the left side of his body. And the word says that water and blood came out. That is only possible in the medical world if there is no more blood in the body. So the fact that water came out told us that Yeshua had lost all his blood.
Okay. All right, let's move into Yeshua Remembrance Service. I'm being as quick and concise as I can because I'm melting. I don't know about you guys.